Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spiders. Well, as people have probably deduced, this one's a little bit late. I apologize, but unfortunately, I ended up screwing up my lower back this weekend just doing something silly like moving. I don't know, I'm getting old. And I couldn't sit for very long. And I knew this was going to be a longer podcast, and I didn't want to be one of those situations where I got about 30 minutes into it and had to get up and move because of my back. So I figured it would be best to let it have another day to heal up and see how it felt today. And so far, so good. It's feeling good. We're hopefully going to finish up the third part of my favorite species list, or basically going through my entire collection, saying some things about every species that I currently keep, which I've been having fun with. Hopefully you guys have been enjoying it too. I know it's made for three long podcasts. We took up three quarters of a month with this one. It was originally supposed to be a two-parter, but it's just once I get going, that's it. There's a lot to say about these, and this is one of the reasons why when I did the video version of it, I decided not to do a running dialogue because it's so tough for me to kind of strip down what I have to say to the point where it would fit what ended up being an hour-long video. I mean, we're going to be in probably 3 hours of talking about tarantulas for this, so that would have been a ridiculously long video that nobody would have gotten all the way through. So this, at least for people who, you know, want to hear about everything I've got and want to take notes about what I have, because a lot of times I get asked about species that I don't currently keep, like, hey, why haven't you done a care sheet for this? Well, I don't keep that one yet. But also what I can do is add these to the description of the video, so folks that did want to hear some commentary on it can have all the commentary they want. So let's pick right up for where we were last time. We were finished up with Orphanicus, and we are now on Pamphibidius species. I get a lot of ribbing, we'll say, from people because I don't keep very many species of Pamphibidius. It's not that I don't like them. It's not that at all. I think Pamphibidius is one of those ones that kind of has a little cult following to it, that people who keep Pamphos absolutely adore Pamphos and can't understand why everybody else doesn't adore them. Like several species I can narrow, genera that I can name, that's one of the ones that people that keep them love them, try to grab them all. You know, it's one of those spiders like Zanestis species, for example, that you get one and you're like, oh man, I got to get more of these. And I totally get it, because I have three different species / subspecies. I have the Pamphibidius antinus, the Pamphibidius species Aranha pollito, and Pamphibidius species Duran. I love all three of them. They are gorgeous spiders. It's just what ended up happening was I picked up my first Pampho, which was my antinus, way back in the day from, I believe it was Anastasia at Netbug. And I got it as a 3-inch sexed female. It was back when I was buying females. Immediately, it was one of the bigger spiders I kept and was enamored with this thing. And it did a lot of burrowing early on, which I was surprised at. I'd read about Pampho as most people were keeping them terrestrially, but it did a lot of burrowing. It had, at the time I got it, it had like a brownish overall coloration. Well, eventually after two or three molts, it came out black with these red hairs on its booty that just made it really pop and just a gorgeous spider. Since then, it's molted a bunch more times. Right now, it's pushing about 8 inches or so. It's back to being brown, oddly enough. It spent several years and probably three molts, adult molts, being a black coloration. After the last molt, it's definitely more of a brown, but I love the sleek look of them. They're not fluffy spiders. They're very sleek, almost like old world species where those hairs are so short and fine that they have a rather smooth, velvety appearance to them, which I absolutely adore. I also have the species Aranha pollito, which many believe is just, it's a Pamphibidius species. That's what it's thought to be. And it's called chicken spider because there were supposedly photos out there of these guys devouring chickens. They had found a dead chicken and were scavenge feeding on it, and they were dragging the chicken away when they got caught because they didn't want to lose their meal. So they got the name chicken spiders. They're also the true Aranha pollitos are supposedly communal. And I had confirmation of this from somebody who contacted me several years back when he saw I got mine. He's like, hey, I got some footage where we went down the Amazon and we saw these spiders, these giant spiders that were living together, and they looked a lot like they were big black spiders. There was two adults, there was a couple juveniles, it was different sizes, all living within the same area underneath like a little rocky, soily recess. And I thought that was absolutely fascinating because I had heard that, but to actually see pictures of it in the wild was something else. But who knows if the one I have it was one of those ones that was sold as Aranha pollito. I bought it knowing I got it for a really good price, and there was, you know, at the time we're both, I got it from Jamie's Tarantulas, and we're like, we're hoping there are real chicken spiders, but there's really no way to prove it because it's one of those subspecies where people can just take, I could honestly raise Pantanus and sell them out there as chicken spiders. So Who knows? But I will say there was a moment where it looked a lot like my regular P. antinus. I thought it was just my regular, like, same species. And then recently it molted and it's jet black and no, very few red hairs on the abdomen. It almost looks like it's jet black completely across the board, which is fascinating to me. Just a gorgeous spider, really sleek looking. I mean, there's nothing like a black spider. There's nothing like a sleek black spider. So really beautiful looking animal. And then the other one I raised was Pamphlebidius species durand. These were the only two that I picked up, two at the time, two slings. One of the, you know, the only Pamphil species I didn't get as a juvenile or a young adult. And these guys were great growers. They went through a stage where both of them were sporting not just purples, but like fuchsia and pinks on them. They were like just absolutely amazing looking tarantulas. That was when I really realized why people love Pamphils. And unfortunately, the majority of Pamphlebidius species, the females will lose those bright colors. They eventually molt out of them while the males keep them. So it's one of the few species that if you get a male, you're almost okay with it because you're getting this beautiful pink or purple spider, which really pops. And the male, his final molt, it was probably the brightest tarantula I've ever seen as far as colors. Just absolute fuchsia, just almost like a neon color. When you looked at him without any light, he was pinkish purple. When you put lights on him, it all just popped. It was amazing. So that was one of those ones I wasn't necessarily disappointed that I got a male, especially because I had the female as well, which was cool. But the female ended up molting a couple times, kept the pinks for a little while, and then finally molted out and is more of a brown and a shaggier appearance than my Antinus or chicken spider, where she has more fluffier appearance, more hairs than the Pamphlebidius Antinus. It's more sleek, which gives her kind of a unique look. And she was, as luck would have it with her, she had burrowed again as an adult, and I wasn't catching her out all that much. And when I was doing the video for this podcast, the video version, I finally caught her out and about. She was sitting right out in the open. She's very, very skittish. So a lot of times when I open the cage, she scrambles underneath her cork bark, but she actually sat there and posed a bit for me. And I got some more footage of her later on, which was great because she's one that I'd really like to see out a bit. And I'm hoping to rehouse her soon into something that she's a little more visible. We'll give her a little more substrate to burrow in, because what I've got her in now is one of the Sterilite containers. And although she's made do and has been able to create a burrow underneath the cork bark, I'm sure she'd like a little bit more. So we'll get her in something that offers a little more depth so she can do a little more digging. But gorgeous spiders, all of them. I can see why people like them. I mean, for me, what ended up happening was right when I picked up my first one, my P. antinus, I found Formictopus and they were much more readily available at the time and less expensive, quite frankly. Nobody was really buying them up, and these species would come up and be like species Dominican Violet, which at the time was sold as Caudus, I picked up for like $80. And then there was South Hispaniola that I picked up rather inexpensive compared to what the prices were for Pamphos. I was kind of like, oh, well, these spiders look cool too. We'll try these instead. And at the time, many people kind of talked about Formictopus being like the bargain brand Pamphos, but I think now they've kind of risen up so that both genera have their connoisseurs, their admirers, their cult following, which is cool. So eventually I do plan on getting more Pamphos. I have people ask me all the time, why haven't you gotten the Marshalla? And it's on my list. It's just one of those deals where I do have limited room and you can only keep so many giant spiders. So Pamphlebidius, awesome species. Next one up, Phlogiellus Johnny Ray Lazoy, which is I believe a Filipino species. There's some type of blue, I think. I saw these a while back and was obsessed with them because people were picking them up, showing them off all the time, and we didn't have them over here in the U.S., so I finally have a sling. So far, so good. Can't say too much about it. I got it. It was a teeny tiny little guy, and I put it in one of the really small dram vials. Ones are like an inch and a half tall by 3/4 inch across. Really small ones. It's burrowed all the way down to the bottom. It's webbed at the top. I keep it moist, but it's so far I've been feeding it pre-killed. I take a little roach, pre-kill it, cut it up, and drop the piece at the top, and I'll come back a couple hours later, and it'll be down there eating, which is great. I just actually checked on it this morning to add a little moisture. The tarantula room's getting very, very hot, so making sure to double-check my slings when all possible, make sure they don't dry out. But so far, so good. Hopefully, this will be one that I can show more off once it puts on some size and once I rehouse it, which I'm looking now. I'll probably rehouse it after its next molt. We'll get some footage of it there. But no, awesome species. Again, I'm trying to get as many of the species from the Philippines as I can. I really adore those. Just really neat spiders, really cool spiders. And, you know, this will be another one added to the collection. And next up, we have, obviously, one of my favorite genera of tarantulas, Formictopus. I've got a lot of these, but a disclaimer just to start off. I have a funny feeling that if there's ever a revision of this genus, a lot of the ones that we have, the greens, the green femurs, green carabas, the purples, the cancerides, purple cancerides, blue cancerides, they're all going to be rolled into just color variations, color morphs of one species. But I have to keep them separate for now because this is what I purchased them as. So for example, the first ones I ever got were Formictopus cancerides. And then shortly after, I bought ones that were called Formictopus species purples. They're identical. They're absolutely identical. They're like, I actually have a cancerides that I bought that at one point turned out to be purple. And then I have my purples after their latest molts look like bronze. So I think, and I've also read that they've gotten both variants out of the same sac, which would indicate that these are basically, it's not a different species of tarantula, it's just a different color variation or variant of it. And if anybody that's raised up cancerides, you know you can have three different cancerides, the exact same size, showing three different color patterns. They are very diverse in their colors. As they grow, I've had ones that are more pinkish and with purple carapace. I've ones were more bronze carapace, more bronze overall coloration. So that's something to be kept in mind. But obviously, for, you know, what can I say that I haven't already said about Formictopus species? They made my fastest growing species list because they do that first year, especially, they can go from tiny slings to 4 to 5 inches. We just had somebody told me that theirs is at the, I believe he said 10-month mark or 9-month mark, and it is already 4 inches. That's just bonkers. I have found that they will slow down once they hit the 4.5, 5-inch mark and that the molts become less frequent. They do put on decent size with each molt, but they don't molt quite as frequently, and I've seen that kind of across the board, but we just put up the video about the top, you know, fastest growing tarantula species, and I can't tell you how many people, some people would say theirs grew more slowly at that point, some people would say theirs grew more quickly. Who knows? It's just what mine have done is they've put out a lot of size to about a year until they hit about that 5-inch mark, and then it slowed down a bit. But the ones I have on my list currently, I have Atochromatis, which looks a lot like the P. cancerides and has actually been mixed up quite a bit with P. cancerides. These guys are just gorgeous, big, big spiders. I think my biggest girl now is close to 8 inches, big girl. And my Atochromatis have been rather laid back and shy. Great eaters, very similar to the cancerides as far as feeding, but pet rocks as far as their behavior. I have three of them. Now, other people are going to come in and say that there's a different, totally understand. I'm just saying what mine have acted. But like cancerides, but a little more calm than cancerides, but gorgeous looking spiders. Also have the Aratus, which is the Cuban gold. Love these guys. This has been probably, those two have probably been my slower growing cancerides. They still put on decent size. I think both still hit 3, 3.5 inches the first year I had them, but they were a little more coy as far as hunting. They burrowed a lot longer than my other Formictopus species. They early on wouldn't take larger prey. Like Formictopus is one of those ones, if you have a 1-inch Formictopus and you drop in a 1-inch cricket, it's going to find a way to subdue and kill it. With these guys, they would hide in their burrows and web it up and not come out and eat, and I had to drop in smaller prey items. So I've heard other people have said theirs have been the same way, a little bit shy, a little bit more finicky as far as eating, or won't take larger prey. But then I just talked to a couple people that said theirs were ravenous and ate great. So again, who knows? Also have Formictopus species Cochleus vorax, or the snail eater or snail muncher. These guys get their name because they actually feed on snails, ground snails. I have not fed mine ground snails. I think that would be, I think snails are kind of cute, so I'd have a hard time with that one. We'll see. Probably not, never going to happen, but they will eat regular prey. I've had people go, oh no, I want to get these, but I can't find snails anywhere. They'll eat regular prey. They'll eat roaches, they'll eat crickets, you know, they'll eat mealworms. There's no worries there, but mine have been definitely a little, they've grown quickly, but they don't seem to put on nearly as much size as other Formictopus. I think this is a smaller Formictopus species overall, if I'm not mistaken, but awesome spiders, definitely different, cool look to it, a little fuzzier than some of the other Formictopus species so far. I think my biggest is about 3 inches, so she's putting on a decent amount of size, and I also have a male that's probably about 2.5 inches now. Voracious eaters, a lot more burrowing. This is the first time I've ever had Formictopus burrow down, cover up their burrow, and stay down after they molted. I had to kind of dig up a little hole and put a pre-kill prey item there so they would eat, because I could tell that it had molted, it had been several weeks, and it wasn't coming up to the surface to eat again. That's the first time I've had that happen with Formictopus species. But the Cochleus vorax seem to be major burrowers as far as I'm concerned up there, I think even more than the Aratus. So something I'd love to hear from other people that keep them, if they're seeing the same thing as far as that burrowing behavior. We also have the species Bayahibe, which can't say too much about because they just picked them up not that long ago, but so far impressed with the looks of them. The funny thing for me in buying all these different quote-unquote species of Formictopus is waiting to see if they just end up looking like another species I've already kept. And the Bayahibe, I couldn't find when I picked them up. They supposedly get violet or purple, but not the same as our Dominican purple. So very excited to see what those look like when they grow up. We also have a species blue, which is not blue at all, that has never had really blue on it. It had a slight bluish tinge to it at some point, but it really wasn't a spider you'd immediately look at and go, hey, that's blue. It's different from the blue azul that is currently in Europe that people are getting over there. We don't have those over in the US, but you can bet your butt if I find them, I will be buying them up. But it is a stunning spider nonetheless. I bought a pair of a female and a male many years back, and it was one of those good situations too where they weren't selling. It drives me nuts when people sell pairs and they're the exact same size, because the majority of spiders, the females will mature well after the males have matured and passed on. But it was actually a much smaller male, a much larger female. The male still matured quickly, and I was trying to get my female to molt out, but she spent I think it was almost 2 years that she didn't molt, and the male ended up passing away, which stunk. But the male was a bright olive green with yellows on it and mustard colors, just a cool looking spider, not the same as the green species males. And then the female had this pinkish sheen to her with kind of some bluish on her butt for a long time, and then finally molted recently and had a dark green appearance to her. And then once she dried up and kind of some time went by, it's almost like an olive green or a foresty green. It's a weird color, and again, not the same. People have been like, oh, it's just another species green. This one's different. I've had the green femur and the full green, and she's looked totally different in every stage in them. So I really don't think it's one of those, but I don't know what she is. So unfortunately, she'll probably never get bred because I don't know what species she is, unless somebody, again, does a revision of the genus and put something out there where I can compare Spermatheca and go, oh, it's this species. I have no way of knowing. So sadly, she will probably not get bred. And I wish that male had held out a little longer. We could add some cool ones on the market, but awesome spider nonetheless. Then we have species Dominican purples, which everybody adores. And that's like the big, the nice thing is over when I picked those up back in the day, they were called caudus violets. And I knew that they supposedly got purple, but I'd seen pictures of the species purples and they were purple. They were pretty, but nothing, that blew your mind. When these guys first molted and got that fuchsia and the purple, it was mind blowing for me. And it's been neat to kind of put these guys out there and have people picking them up and going, hey, I got my Dominican purples. They seem to be much more popular now. People are picking them up all over the place. Hopefully we get them established in the hobby, especially in the US. Okay, that's me just being selfish, but I really want them established in the U.S. because I do think that's a spider that people that pick up, the Panthos and stuff and want the purple spiders, but generally it ends up only being the males. In this case, the females sport that violet and those violets and purple tones. So definitely a gorgeous spider. Then we have the species green and species green femur. Interesting thing here, I brought the species, the one that's thought to be the green femur is the Formictopus South Hispaniola. Now, there's apparently a North Hispaniola that looks the same. The South Hispaniola, it went through several years. It got the green femurs, it had a goldish-colored carapace, and then it had the red hairs on its abdomen. We used to jokingly call it the Christmas tree spider or the Christmas ornament spider because it had those Christmassy colors to it. And it was a gorgeous spider. Well, one of mine molted recently, and now it's like a full green. So that I found that very interesting because supposedly, you get the green femur. Nobody talked about the fact that eventually they just get full green. And it's a darker green and less striking green than it was as a green femur. So I found that very interesting. I've had these guys for several years now. They've had several adult molts. So interesting development there. I also have the full green. One of those just molted. That one is now finally showing its full green. It looks almost black when it's not under the light. Put some light on it and those greens pop. It's a dark green overall. Again, different color though than the green femur. So who knows what's going on there. There's also green gold carapix. A gold carapace, which, again, another beautiful spider. They have the green, but obviously the gold carapaces, those are another striking one. Who knows if there aren't all related or won't all end up being just different color variants of the same spider. And then we have my species purples, which I already alluded to, which quite frankly, I just think are peak Cancerides. So we won't spend too much time talking about them. One of them went through a stage where it did have some nice little purple tones, but they've mostly been bronze and brown, which is totally okay. But just one of those things that when I picked them up, I was so excited to get purple spiders. And as it turned out, it ended up being my Caudus violets or my Dominican purples that ended up giving me my purple spider long after I bought these guys. And then finally, we have the species Salinas, which I picked up from Arachnoid Den a while back, and they're growing pretty well. I think they're about 3 inches, 3.5 inches now each. A little more slowly than some of the Formictopus species. Definitely going through some cool color changes as they grow up, not looking like anything else that I've kept as far as Formictopus genus goes. So I'll be very curious to see what those look like as adults, because not just about every one of these guys has surprised me with the adult coloration. Even the Cancerides, when I picked them up, I originally thought they were just going to be big brown spiders, and they are anything but. So next up we have Formingochilus arboricola. This, hopefully that's the name. This, every time I do a video of these guys, they had just changed the name like a month before, and I keep missing it. It was embarrassing. I kept saying the wrong name. People would come on and correct me, and I'd be like, all right, I got it this time. And then they'd change it again. Awesome little spider. I thought these were supposed to be the big black versions of these spiders. Mine right now is about 5.5 inches or so, 6 inches. I think it's probably close to full grown, so it seems to be the smaller of the two. There's another species, Formingochilus. It's eluding me right now. Somebody can chime in the comments, but it's the other black version. But mine was slower grower overall. I mean, it picked up size until it hit about 3 inches and then slowed way down. And this is the one that I thought I was going to lose because I found it on the top of its substrate. And it was looking in really bad shape, not really a death curl, but looking very, very drained and no energy. And I kept it in for months in a, you know, technically a tarantula ICU. It was a Tupperware container that I put moist paper towels down because I figured if it was dehydrated, it could drink, had a water dish in it. And it was right around for months. I was like, this thing is not getting any better. It could barely move. You would open the enclosure. It would just listlessly sit there. It wouldn't, if you poked it with a brush, it wouldn't move. Long story short, I was getting to the point where I'm like, it might be time to put this one down to euthanize it because it's obviously not getting any better and all I'm doing is prolonging its suffering. And I picked it up one day. I was kind of like, all right, let's check if there's no improvement. I got some decisions to make. And I opened it up and it was sitting there and I kind of went to blow on it a little bit to see if it would move and it skittered all around the enclosure. I was like, whoa, it came right back to life. So I thought, well, if it's moving, let's try to feed it. So I dropped the cricket in. It ate it ravenously. I just kept pumping crickets to it, fattened up, molted within about a month, and it's been perfectly fine since then. I put in an Exoterra enclosure with a lot of moist substrate and, you know, kind of angled it all up so they had a nice deep spot to go in. And it, every once in a while, I catch out in the morning. Gorgeous spider, definitely worth picking up. And so glad that it turned around and didn't end up dying because that was, I've had ones that exhibit that. I think my guess is it's probably some type of bacterial infection. I've only seen it with fossorial species, and it's got me thinking again to the point where we keep them buried in this dirt, where in the wild, that dirt is naturally going to, as it rains, the water is going to percolate down through. It's going to naturally purify itself. In enclosure, there's nowhere for that water to go. So it just kind of stagnates, pulls at the bottom, and God only knows what, you know, grows and develops in there. But anyway, it ended up doing well. It's still doing well, and hopefully it will continue to do well. I'm hoping it still puts on a little more size, but I'm thinking this is probably it. I had somebody come on and tell me that they have one and it didn't get particularly big. So it doesn't matter. It's a gorgeous spider nonetheless. And next we have Pisolatheria. Obviously, absolutely adore Pisolatheria species. The first one we have up is Pisolatheria formosa, the Salem ornamental. This one, I have a terrible story to tell about this one. Let's just rewind. About a month and a half ago, somebody contacted me about why I've never done a video about what to do when a spider has a bad molt. They had a spider that got partially stuck in the molt and they weren't sure what to do with it. And I said, and quote unquote, I said, knock on wood, I've had very good luck with that never happening to my tarantulas. I've had, I think, one maybe catch a leg before, but I was able to trim away. I had a couple situations with slings with, they caught a leg or two, and I was able to trim around it, and one of them cast the leg off, one of them kept the leg on, molted out, there was no problem, but I've never had a really bad catastrophic molt. And again, I ended the video with, my God, I hope you didn't make me jinx myself, ha ha ha. Well, my P. formosa molted recently. I came in, I was doing a check on all the spiders, make sure their water dishes were full because it was particularly hot up here. And I looked in and I'm like, I see it kind of struggling. I'm like, that doesn't look good. I took it out and basically it had gotten out all of its legs, but its pedipalps were stuck. The carapace was still partially stuck, and it looked like out of the legs that it got out, all the legs on, I think it's the right side, or three of the legs on the right side, were all bent out of shape and wonky, and it looked pretty useless. So long story short, I ended up trying to trim away. I trimmed away as much as I could. first. I ended up loosening up the carapace with some water. I got the carapace off. It wasn't really stuck that badly. But then the two pedipalps were still stuck. It ended up twisting itself around to the point where it popped one of its pedipalps off. And I had cornstarch there. So it looked like it stopped the bleeding, but I put a little cornstarch on the wound. And then I grabbed the other pedipalp. It twisted, popped that one off, a little cornstarch on the wound. It has now been 6 days. And I'm getting ready to try to feed it soon. Unfortunately, it has no pedipalps, which it used to eat. So what I'll probably end up doing is smashing up a roach or cutting open a roach so it's open and the good stuff is exposed, putting on something inside the enclosure and allowing it to eat from there. I did take it out of its enclosure and put it in a shoebox with moist paper towels so I can make sure it could get a drink. And I did catch it drinking after the molt, which was good. It does seem to have some control of its legs and it has been hanging on the side of the enclosure like an arboreal would, but it's definitely in some rough shape. So hopefully this one, I'm going to do a video of it regardless, and hopefully this one turns around and ends up eating, molting again, and growing its legs back. And it's an older female, so I am worried. One of the things that tends to happen with older specimens is they go to molt for that final time and it's kind of too much and it doesn't go well. So I'm hoping that the next one she'll molt out and be fine, but time will tell. P. metallicas, obviously have several of those. I have the communal ones that I've started breaking apart because, again, I've only counted six in there. So I'm assuming one of them didn't make it, which six of them are great. One of them didn't, but that's a wasted specimen as far as I'm concerned. It's tough with the P. metallica communal thing. And I'll probably do something on this eventually where I'd give my final thoughts, although I did allude to this before. I think in some ways, if you had a bunch of them together, like if you had a whole sack and raised them like this, you're going to have 4-inch specimens within a year. They grow super fast. They did seem to grow much better and they were much better hunters kept like that. For the majority, most of them, I have three runts that are still quite small, but it seems like naturally some of them are going to start eating each other, and God only knows how long that will last before they go full hunger game. So I have started pulling them out one at a time when I catch them out and about, just not doing a big production thing where I'm going to rehouse them all at once, but usually I can catch one on the glass of the door of the tank and I'll pull it out that way. But they are looking stunning. They're all about 5 inches now. And of course I have my old female that I've had for about 8 years now, 9 years, and she's full grown, beautiful girl still has a lot of those blues on her. Just an awesome species. Next one is Regalis. P. Regalis, had this one for years. Big female. She's about 7.5 inches now. She just molted a couple months ago. Love those colors. I know everybody loves the Metallica, but I love the black and white colorations of some of the pokies and the fractal patterns on the back. It's just so striking. I've always liked black and white photography. When I did artwork, black and white's my favorite. So it's just something about the black and white species, but gorgeous girl. I was able to get, she's created quite a cool little burrow behind her. I have a half rounded piece of cork bark in her burrow or in her enclosure. And she built her burrow around that. And I can usually, it's left a little window so I can get some shots of her when she's in there. Cause she doesn't come out all that much. Although the other day I went in there, it was nice and hot. And she was sitting right on the top of the cork bark looking very picturesque, just gorgeous spiders. Then I had my two Rufalatas. Those were great surprises because I had seen pictures of Rufalatas before, but I didn't realize how green they are. I have two large females. They're about 8, 8.5 inches now. And when they molt, they are super green when they molt. And even after it's been a while, like right now, they're both haven't molted in quite a few months. And you put a light on, they are still green. So I don't know how I missed that because I had had people tell me for years, no, Rufalatas, they're the most beautiful pokies. And the pictures I saw of them just didn't do them justice. And I have to say, I love green spiders. So those are up there on my list as far as, I don't think there's a bad looking pokey out there, quite frankly. But I think people just see the Metallica. They want the Metallica. It's a blue spider, and they lose sight of the fact that there are other really good-looking pokies out there. So absolutely love my Rufalatas. I have my Smithy that I bought at a pet store. It was kind of a pet store rescue because they had it in a cylindrical container that was about 10 inches across and only about 4 inches deep. So it was kept terrestrially on dry substrate with a bunch of roaches and crickets running all around it. I just felt terrible for the thing, because it just looked in terrible shape, and I ended up looking at it. I could sex it. Pokies are one thing you can sex pretty reliably ventrally once they hit a certain size. It was about 2.5, 3 inches at the size at that time, and I was pretty sure it was a female, so I got a good deal on it. The guy was going to, I came up and I had a discount code because I bought a lot of stuff there, and he's like, oh no, that's marked as low as it's going to go. I'm like, all right, I'm going to put it back then. And he came back and he's like, I could probably go cheaper. So I got a decent price for a sexed P. Smithy, and I'm glad I picked it up because she's done well. She's been a beautiful girl, very laid back. I mean, probably my most laid back visible pokey I have. Right now she's about 6 inches or so. I believe she's in pre-molt again, but a more gangly 6 inches than some of my other pokies. She doesn't fatten up as much as some of the other ones, but really beautiful girl. Very glad I got her. Next one I have is Pisolatheria subfusca. I have Highland and Lowland. I bought two of each and got one male and one female of each. Really digging these. For years, people told me, would come on and say, those are my favorite species of pokies. And although I thought they looked beautiful for pokies, there was nothing that really stuck out until I got them. I love the darker colorations on them. It's just really good looking spiders, smaller than some of the other ones and didn't grow quite as quickly as some of the other species I have. I think it's a smaller species overall, but definitely gorgeous looking girls. Then we have Pisolatheria tigrina wasselli. Unfortunately, bought two of these and both of them ended up being male. So one male has already passed on. I still have one male left. And again, really cool looking spider. Love the kind of yellowish tones of them. They're all, I mean, the thing is, I think if you like the looks of pokies, they all are attractive spiders. We can all argue about which are the best looking ones, but it's like a beauty pageant. They're all good looking. Trying to find the best one, like, who cares? It's all subjective at that point. So tigrina wasselli, I know somebody recently was like, I don't like that they're more cream looking than some of the other ones, but they are really striking spiders. And then finally, pivotata, which my first pokey ever was a pivotata. I picked up a 3-inch sex female from Jamie's Tarantulas way back, and I treated the thing like it was radioactive. The first rehouse was like, ooh, it went well and we stayed calm, but I'll tell you, the nerves were up. My oldest son was helping me at the time and we were like, I remember at one point it was just sitting on the door of the Exo Tower and we're like, what do we do now? Gorgeous spiders. Just they have the ghost ornamental is the common name. And I think part of that's due to the fact that they do have that ghostly appearance. Like they almost seem to glow under the right lights. I have photos or footage. I got one of mine that it's just got the regular camera light on and it's so white looking. It's amazing. But again, love the ones that have that black, white, and gray appearance. And these guys have more black and white on them. And it's kind of on par with the P. regalis. Both of them are stunning spiders. If I had to pick, you know, my favorite, I don't know, I'm not even going to try. It's like picking your favorite. I struggle with picking my favorite spider. I struggle with picking my favorite pokey species. Vitata is up on my list because, again, it was my first one, so kind of holds a special place in my heart. And next up, we have another favorite genera of mine, one I just covered in a video, Salmopeus. Love Salmopeus, trying to get them all. Again, I tell everybody the story, the fact that I had absolutely zero interest in them for years, none. People would be like, why don't you have a Salmopeus? Because I don't want a Salmopeus. I don't like them. I never kept one, and from what I had seen of them, it just didn't stimulate any type of curiosity to keep them. But then finally, little by little, I started kind of getting interested in them, and Pet Center USA, which is a place that used to sell tarantulas back in the day, was giving away P. cambergii as freebies. And I'm like, you know what? I would take one as a freebie. I don't think I want to go out and buy one, but I'll take one as a freebie. So I remember it was a freebie for an order of $100 or more. And I ended up spending $200, but I put in my notes, please just send me a cambergii. I don't want, I believe it was a B. Smithy at the time they were giving away as the $200 freebie. And I got my order in and they gave me the B. Smithy. And I remember being like disappointed, not who doesn't want a B. Smithy, but I was disappointed because I really wanted the cambergii. So I placed another order and this time I strategically kept it under $200, asked for the cambergii, got it. And that's the big female that I have now. Absolutely adore that girl. Again, another one of the spiders that some of them show green. The females can be tan to green. Mine has more of a green appearance. Big, big girl, ridiculously fast growers. I think she hit 5 inches in a year, 5.5 inches in a year. And I just obviously did my top fastest growing tarantula species. So many people said cambergii were the ones that just blew everything else out of the water. I'd have to agree with it. Very fast growing spiders, gorgeous and good one to start off with as far as starting off with Salmopeus species. Next one on the list is Salmopeus ecclesiasticus. Another wonderful surprise because I didn't realize how golden these are. This is the one I shot the video of, Billy and mine kept coming out of the enclosure. She did not want to go into the new enclosure and she kept coming out and about. So we got some great footage of her, got some good laughs because normally our rehousings go so smoothly, they're kind of boring and they don't show what to do when things don't go right. So I was kind of glad in this case she didn't go right into the new enclosure. But like the other Salmopeus, she's grown rather quickly. You know, I grew her vial quickly, I grew her next container quickly. Now she's in one of the, I believe I've got her in a primal cage enclosure, the 8x8x12, and she's doing great. A little more shy than some of my other Salmopeus species. I don't catch her out and about as much as I do, say, the Victorii or the cambergii, or my Reduncas are always sitting right out in the open, and so is my Polker. But awesome, beautiful spider, and definitely worth it. Even if you get one that hides, when you see them out and about, it makes it totally worth it. Next up, we have the Armenia, which is the one that probably gets the most attention because there's nothing like a black spider with orange markings on it. They are stunning. My girl is one of the ones, well, I have two now. I have a sling that I'm growing up, and I have my female. And my girl is one of the shy ones. I rarely see her out. She doesn't have a lot of attitude. When I catch her out, she usually goes back in and hides. I've never had any issues with her. However, many other keepers report that theirs are some of the most defensive, nasty spiders they keep. So apparently it's like half and half. When I posted a video on her and when I did my video on Salmopeus genus, it's like half the people came on and said theirs was very shy and they never saw it. The other half said it stands right out in the open, like, come on, fight me. So I guess it depends on the luck of the draw which one you get. Regardless, I mean, if you got one that says fight me, at least it's out and about and you can see it more because they are stunning spiders. Again, that black with the orange, so striking. Beautiful, you know, fast growers, good eaters, just amazing spiders. Next up, we have Salmopeus pulcher, the blonde, Peruvian blonde, I believe is the name for it. The other one is the sun tiger, which is, I think people love that common name. I'm forgetting to say the common names. I apologize. I have all the scientific names written down. And I keep forgetting to say the common names of them. But the pulcher, another beautiful species, blonde. Mine was big, fast growing. I had two of them. One of them ended up being male. One of them, the one I still have now, is the female. And she is constantly visible. Little skittish, but again, never had any defensive type of behavior from her. No threat postures, nothing like that. Just a really good looking spider. And then finally, we have Salmopeus victorii, which are the Darth Maul tarantula, or the Mexican half and half. Mine just molted again, still just, there's nothing like the spider. It literally is right in half. Half of it is a bluish black. The other half of it is a reddish kind of darkish brown color. It's more of a reddish, like a rust color or red. Amazing looking spider. And mine, luckily, is, you know, it hides a lot, but every once in a while I'll be sitting here working in the tarantula room and it kind of comes out, goes on a little walkabout, sits on the side of its enclosure. I did a video a couple days ago and I was shooting the intro. And I look back as I was editing it and realized she was sitting right on the side of the cage during the intro, which is awesome. And it's great because they are gorgeous spiders. These guys are getting a lot of attention in the hobby because of their unique appearance. And I know a lot of people are out there trying to find them. So let's hope that people keep breeding them so they get to be very common, because it is just one of those spiders that there's nothing quite like it in the hobby. There's, you know, ones that have different color tones, different, you know, patterns, but not many that I can think of that have that, you know, half of it's one color, half of it's the other color, which makes it particularly striking. And next up, we have Pseudohopalopus species blue, which I picked up a while back. Two little teeny tiny slings. These guys grew pretty decent clip. They were burrowers, kept the substrate moist. Couldn't wait for them to get that blue booty. And when they did, it didn't impress. It's like this metallic powder blue color. Their overall coloration is a gray, which I actually love. Like, it's a really kind of a cool gray color, and then that their abdomens just pop with that blue when you get them under a light. My biggest one is about 2.5, maybe 3 inches. Now, I believe this is a smaller species. The other one's a little bit smaller. They've been kind of skittish and shy, but I do catch them out and about every so often. Actually, one of those species that they'll be out and about until you've jostled the enclosure, and then they'll run and hide. But definitely glad I picked these up. Obviously, everybody loves blue spiders. I love blue spiders. I actually want to rehouse one of them soon into an adult enclosure. I have it in one of the Systema enclosures right now, which it hasn't quite outgrown, but it's pretty much full grown. So I want to get it into one of the larger 12 by 7.5 by 7.5 M-Design shoeboxes I use for them. They're crystal clear. It'll offer more space. I'll have more room to roam and burrow. So we'll be doing a rehousing one of those soon, because this one definitely has its adult colors and I kind of want to show it off. The other Pseudohopalopus species I have is species Columbia. Billy picked me up 3 of these a while back. By far the smallest slings I have ever dealt with. And on top of it, they were slow growing. When I got them, I was freaking out because I'm like, my God, these are so, I couldn't even see them. I would get cross-eyed and get a headache trying to look into the vial to see where the heck they were. They were so tiny. They were so tiny that I had to pre-kill flightless fruit flies for them, because the fruit flies look way too big for the spider. That's how small they were. And somebody came on and went, oh, don't worry about it, they grow quickly. Mine did not grow quickly, which is fine, except unfortunately, shortly after I got them, one of them died mysteriously. It would seem to be eating fine and died. I have 2 left now. One of them looks like it, one of them just molted, and it is now about a quarter of an inch, maybe a little bigger, and it looks huge compared to what they were. Like, it's like, wow, look at it, it's all grown up. And it's still only probably a quarter of an inch, a third of an inch. The other one is about to molt. That one's still about a quarter of an inch or so. But very excited to get these guys out of that teeny tiny sling stage into larger enclosures so I can actually see them better and see what the adults look like, because I've seen the colorations and they look pretty darn cool. And next up we have Pseudoclamorus gigas, or the I think it's the orange tree spider. We'll go with that. This one's probably pushing 7-8 years old now. Picked up a long time ago as a sling. Raised up to an adult. Beautiful. I love orange. So any orange spider, I'm going to eventually try to grab up. Little trivia note. This was the first, I believe, only spider I've ever had fully escape during feeding time. Usually, I have a trick that I used to use with snakes where you had to do cleaning or get something out of their thing. And you had a snake that you couldn't quite trust not to bite you. You'd feed it. And while they were wrapping up and eating the prey item, I was able to do some work in the enclosure because I could keep an eye on them, know they were too busy with their prey item to worry about me. And it's kind of worked with tarantulas where if you throw in a couple prey items and they're eating and doing their little happy dance, you can kind of do some work in there. They tend to calm down. You don't want to get too close because you'll trigger that feeding response. They'll come at you. But usually once you drop in a couple prey items and they eat, they're fine. They don't try to bolt and you can do some work. Well, this one, I opened up the enclosure. I dropped in a cricket. I turned around to pick up another cricket and it basically came out of its den, right up out of the enclosure, onto my leg, onto my foot, and started sprinting to my tarantula room. Like, this is back when I used to feed on their dinner table. And I was shocked to say the least, because usually most of them, when you get a tarantula out and you jostle the cage and they're in their burrow, they're fine. They're not coming out of the burrow. That's their safe zone. And especially when you drop food items in, usually they jump on the food items and they're, after that, they go from being scared to they're focused on the prey. This one, not so much. And I had a hole. There was a hole in the floor of the tarantula room, a round hole where they used to have a pipe coming through that they took the pipe out, but the hole was there. And that thing was beelining right for the hole. So I had to put my foot over the hole, cup it real quick. It was definitely an eye opener, to say the least. But this one just molted recently. Gorgeous orange tones. Unfortunately, one of the most shy ones, one I could not get new video of for the video version of this podcast, which was a shame because I really wanted to show her off. But she was obviously in pre-molt because she molted right after that I put the video out. But gorgeous spiders, very cool for people like the arboreal species, definitely worth picking up. Next one we have Pterinochilus marinus, everybody's favorite, the OBT. Absolutely adore my OBT. I have my old female that took forever to grow up, but she's also very docile. She was a kind of a finicky eater, but she's very docile now. Great eater as an adult now, just as a sling, she was kind of finicky. Beautiful orange girl. I've recently picked up another orange version to grow up. Maybe I'll get a male. Maybe we'll see about breeding her. I have the Tet, I think it is, T-E-T-E version. And then I have four of the brown version, the no color form or brown color, normal color form ones, which I'm raising up. Those are growing much more quickly than my girl. So definitely enjoying the OBT. Love the OBT. It's a shame because, as I've said before, when I first got into the hobby, everybody was talking about OBTs, but I think we've scared people off of them to the point where they're just not as popular as they were before. And granted, some people would pick them up because of the infamy. They'd read that they were the nastiest thing out there. So they're like, I'm going to keep a nasty spider. And I don't know, it was like an ego thing or something. But I think a lot of us just genuinely like them. We keep them correctly. If you give them enough room to do their burrowing and or webbing on the surface and give them some space, they tend to be a lot more calm than people used to report, 10 years ago. But amazing spiders. I do feel like they should be a hobby staple for people that get into old world species. And I don't think they're nearly as bad as people say. Not to say there aren't some very defensive ones out there, but the more and more I've talked and advocated for them, the more people have come forward and said, yeah, mine really aren't that bad or any worse than any of my other old worlds. So just something to keep in mind if you're one that goes, they're pretty, but I'll never keep it because they're nasty. Give them a shot. Grab one from a sling. Give it some room. Grow it up. You might find you're surprised at the fact they're not nearly as bad as people make them out to be. Next up, we have Pterinopelma sozomé, the Brazilian blue, I think it is. That sounds about right. Love the Pterinopelma sozomé. This is one of those ones that it's weird because I was just talking to somebody. I've raised two of them, and both of them were slow growing. And once they hit about 3.5 inches or so, went through a very defensive stage. Probably the most defensive spiders I've ever kept in terms of you disturb the enclosure, full bore threat postures, slapping, falling over backwards, like really a huge display of it. I had given them, and just to explain, I'd given them enough room to burrow, so it wasn't like they were stuck right on the surface with nowhere to go. Weird. But then I talked to somebody from the UK who said over in the UK, they recommend them as beginner species because they're very docile. So I don't get what the heck's going on there. Apparently they're more well-behaved overseas. I'd love to try to figure out what the deal is with that. But in my estimation, they're not quite beginner species because they're a little more slow growing. And they, well, not so much the slow growing part, the fact that they can be defensive. But obviously, if you get a tame one, then they could be a good beginner species because they're very easy to take care of. Back when they first came out, people talked about the fact they had to be kept super moist because they were from an area that floods. Well, what they didn't realize is the area floods, but it also has drought. So they're used to both. So they're a very adaptable spider. Mine grew slowly. Some people talk about theirs growing more quickly, but they are blue. They're overall, they have a palish blue hue to them, or dark blue, kind of, by pale, I mean, it's not really popping, but then you get them under a light, they pop. Usually right after a molt is when they're the bluest, and then they kind of lose it a little bit as they go along, but they're never one of those spiders. Some of the blue spiders will appear brown, like Kilobrachii species will appear brown until you shine a light on them. These guys always have a bluish hue to them. So if you like blue spiders, mine are quite visible. I have one in a bioactive enclosure. I have one in one of the shoeboxes, the M-Design shoeboxes. Both of them are quite visible. Gorgeous spiders, awesome species, and definitely something to check out. And now we have my Selena cosmia crassipes, or Phlogius crassipes. I believe the actual name is Selena cosmia. They tried to change it to Phlogius at one point. Then somebody came back and said, nope, it's not Phlogius. It stays Selena cosmia. So that's the official name. But I do believe people in Australia still refer to it as Phlogius. It's kind of some confusion there. You'll sometimes see them sold as Phlogius. Love these Australian species. I have the crassipes and crassipes species unice. I have raised up, I think, 5 crassipes so far. I have 1 crassipes female. My unice, I had 1 unice. That ended up being male. I had several male regular crassipes. Love these spiders. I don't know. It's just something about owning an Aussie spider. They're not very prevalent. They're, you know, I think people sleep on them because they're just, you'll get the old, oh, they're just big brown spiders, but I adore them. I would love to get more. They have the Goliath. They have a couple different Black Presley, I believe one of them is. They're just all Selena cosmia species, but are crassipes species, but they're from different locales. I'd love to get more. But mine, unfortunately, I did the video version of this and mine was nowhere to be found. I never see it out and about. It, like, rarely, I tried to entice it out. I never do this. I took some crickets, held them by the back legs, and allowed them to kind of scuttle on the webbing on the entrance of the burrow, hoping I could draw it out. I got its feet and that's it. It's like, dude, I'm not an idiot. I'm not coming out there. So didn't get any footage of it. I do have a sling now, a species unice, that is putting on some size after rehoused soon. So we'll probably get some footage of it there. And I'm assuming that's the last I will see of it until we rehouse it again. They are a shy species. They are fossorial. They will burrow. And I just don't see mine out all that much, but it's still one of my favorite spiders. So go figure. I just wish I could have gotten footage of these for the video. And next up, we have everybody's favorite giant spiders, Theraphosa species. We'll kick it off with Theraphosa apophysis, or apophysis, which was on my wish list for quite some time. And now, luckily, they seem to be everywhere, which is great. These are actually the Theraphosa blondii actually gets the reputation for being the biggest spider, but I think it's by weight. But the apophysis, everybody talks about the blondii getting to be 10 to 12 inches. Apophysis, I believe the biggest spider leg span on record was an apophysis male that was like 13 inches or something. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure there was an apophysis that broke the 12 inch mark, which makes it, you know, leg span wise, the biggest spider out there. Who cares? Either way, they're gigantic spiders. I will say my apophysis, love the little pink feet. They have the common name Goliath pink toe, and they keep those for a lot longer than I thought they would. They grow quickly, but mine haven't been growing quite as fast as the Sturmi or Blondii. Those two for me are pretty interchangeable. I love them both. I love them people. You know, back in the day, somebody would get a Sturmi and somebody would go, oh, you don't have the true Goliath. Okay, well, the Blondii was the first one, but they're so similar, most people can't tell them apart, as evidenced by the fact of how many times people buy a quote-unquote Blondii and it ends up being a Sturmi. They still end up with a giant spider, so who cares? So let's not be, you know, purist, elitist type people with the species. I mean, if you're looking for a Blondii and you get a Sturmi, I could see that being disappointed because Blondies were much more expensive and still are. But as far as saying you don't have the real Goliath, come on, they're comparable in size. But apophysis is growing a little more slowly, but hopefully I'll get a big leggy. I'm hoping for a male and a female. I'd want to see one of the males because supposedly they get purple. I can't imagine, you know, a 10, 12 inch spider with purple on it. That would just be a highlight of my keeping career, I think. I also have 2 Blondii. Both of them are about 7. One of them just molted. The molt is about 7.5 inches now, so I'm guessing she's pushing 8 inches. Big girl. You can tell them the biggest difference right off the bat. There are other differences like the size of the legs and the carapace, but the one that sticks out that's usually easy to pick up on is they have the hairs that go all the way up on their knees. Well, the Sturmi do not. Mine, absolutely loving the Blondii. I don't think you need to keep them as moist as people say. Okay, let me clarify. You need to keep them moist, but I keep them about the same as I keep my Sturmi. There's people who will say that you need to keep them like drenched in a lot of extra water. Just moist substrate, let the top dry out. They'll burrow down the moisture they need. Nice big water dish, or maybe two water dishes. If you have a big container, that would work. But awesome species, gigantic. I will never get bored of them. I know some people think that they're just big, giant brown spiders, but they go through so many different color changes. The blondies that I have like pinkish hairs on them right now. My buddy Charles showed me a picture of his blondie female that molted that I think was around 7.5 inches or so. And my God, it had like a pinkish tone to it all over. Just stunning animals. And again, they're huge. They're giant spiders. What's cooler than a spider that can hit a foot? Nothing. But there's still people out there don't like them. And whatever, to each your own. Obviously, different strokes for different folks. And there are obviously, if everybody liked all the same spiders, it would be a boring hobby. So I totally get it that some people just don't, you know, appreciate them. And the hairs are bad. That's one thing I will say. I opened up that T. blondii container and they will kick off all their hair and make like a bed of hairs when they lay over to molt. And I didn't realize I had the fan over my transfer room. I opened up that enclosure and my God, my arms were stinging for a bit. But gorgeous spiders. And the T. sturmi, I have a little one now that is missing a leg. Well, was missing a leg. She has since molted twice and grown it back, but she's growing like a weed. I had three T. sturmi in my keeping, quote unquote, career. One I bought as I regret it now, but it was probably a wild caught specimen. It was 5 inch, ended up being a 9.5 inch male. Then I had two that I raised up, one matured male, one matured female. The female was 10 inches. She had a molt and just suddenly died. It was heartbreaking. Still don't know what happened there. She was just a gorgeous girl, but hopefully we'll grow this new sturmi up and it'll be a female, because I had two at the time, two females, and I gave one away to a buddy of mine who lost his, and then right afterwards mine died, and it was like, I wish I had that one back, but love Theraphosa. I will always love Theraphosa. To me, there's just nothing cooler than a giant spider. Then next up, we have Theraphosinae species pura. Love it. Become one of my favorites. I have two, a male and a female, which I got to try to pair again because I paired them before. I was hoping it was successful. The female was putting on a lot of size, but it's been a few months and she hasn't dropped the sack yet. So I figure I'll pair them again. But lovely species that I had read was a dwarf. The female is about 4.5, maybe close to 5 inches now. The male is about 4.5 inches. Mature, and they're green. There's not a lot of green tarantulas out there. I had no idea this was a green species, so when they both molted and picked up the golds and greens on them, I was just immediately enamored. Very gentle. The female's always out in the open, very visible, fairly laid back overall, pretty chill. The male, even for a mature male, is pretty chill, just an awesome species. So hopefully I'll get some babies out of these guys and be able to get them in the hobby, because this is what I'd like to see established, that people are, you know, constantly picking up. There's certain species you just get and you're like, why aren't these more popular? And this is definitely one of them. I also just picked up a Theraphosinae species rotan. Loving this one so far. It's molted, I think, 3 times in my care. Went from a little teeny tiny sling to it's about probably 3/4 of an inch, an inch now, showing a little color on its carapace. Awesome little booger. Right now, I rehoused it, gave it room to burrow, and it's sitting right out in the open. I gave it a starter burrow, gave it some, you know, moss and hide behind that, gave it some places to pick from, but it's sitting right out in the open, which is awesome because I'm really kind of curious to see this one grow up, because I've seen photos of the adults and they're gorgeous. Again, only got one of them, so fingers crossed I get the female, because I definitely love to keep one. You know, I think Theraphosinae species are ones that I'll be checking out and trying to get more of them in the future. And then we have Thrixopelma ocherti. I have one that, fingers crossed, I don't even want to sex it. It's to the point where I don't even want to take the chance of sexing. I want to pretend like it's going to be a female, because this is the one where I thought I had a female earlier on. I had two specimens. The male molted out, and he was about a 4-inch male or so, maybe 4.5 inch, a little gangly male. And then I had another one that was already 4.5 inches at a time that waited 2 more molts before molting out mature into about 7.5 inch male. So think of the size, 3 inch, at least 3 inch difference in size between the two mature males. Kind of threw me, because when the first one molted, the other one was already bigger than that one. So I assumed it was a female. I assumed wrong, but awesome little spiders. Not sure why they're not more popular. Every time I post something about them, somebody comes on and goes, I never even heard of these, which is weird because I thought they were more common, or they seem to be fairly common, but I guess nobody's checking them out. But they have like a weird greenish blue overall coloration, and then bright red booties. And supposedly they hang on wild strawberries and they stick their booties up in the air and it looks like little wild strawberries. That's what I've heard. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but it makes sense when you see them on the side of the enclosure. Sometimes they'll have their butts sticking straight up in the air. So could be. They also do that as a defense posture. Mine have been very skittish and will kick hairs, but gorgeous spiders and definitely ones I will always have in my collection. I just hope I get a female this time. And then next we have the genus Tlietlocatl, which obviously were changed over from Brachypelma recently. I don't have a very big collection of these, so people, Tlilo Cotto fans, please don't get on me. Don't get upset. There's always time to get more. But right now, I have, obviously, T. albopilosis, or the curly hair. I have T. albopilosis Nicaraguan, which are considered to be the pure form. I'll get into that a little bit in a moment. And I have T. vagans. I have two of those. One was supposed to be a different species. It grew up to be a T. vagans, so now I have two T. vagans. You can't have too many T. vagans. But anyway, albopilosis, I have the quote-unquote hobby form, or Hadouran curly hair. They're called hobby form because there's thought to have been a lot of inbreeding. I know I had one that was looked like a T. albopilosis crossed with a T. vagans. It had the sleeker look. The curly hairs were shorter, more darker complexion, kind of reddishness on the booty. Unfortunately, they're thought, it doesn't mean that all of the Honduran forms are crossbreeds. That should be made very clear, but we're not sure with a lot of them, and it's been done for so long, and they've been in the hobby like that for so long that God only knows how many of them are crossed. And then there's the Nicaraguans, which I believe came into the hobby around 2011, that we know where they come from, that we consider them the pure, that we know that these guys are pure. And the Nicaraguans, I did hear that Nicaraguans could be a little more high-strung than our hobby form. However, I'm now chalking that up to the fact that apparently they were pulling a lot of wild-caught specimens out. And again, when you take a specimen out of the wild that hasn't been raised in captivity, you pull it out of its, you know, its home, you stick it in an aquarium somewhere, you're going to get some defensive behavior there. You know, obviously that wasn't a good situation for them being pulled out of the wild. They haven't adapted. I do feel like that a lot of the ones that we've wild, that we've captive bred over the years do start to kind of calm down a bit. Just a theory of mine. But anyway, I have not had any issues with mine. They've all been voracious eaters. And then surprisingly, I just did my video on the top fastest growers, and a lot of people picked T. albopilosis as one of their fastest growers. So go figure. Mine did not grow particularly fast. They grew fast for Brockies at the time. They were Brockies or Tlilo Cottles, but not my fastest growing ones, but a lot of people apparently have had ones go from teeny tiny slings to 3 or 4 inches in a year, which is amazing. Also have the T. vagans, which love these when they just molt. They're jet black with those red booties and just beautiful spiders. This is one that they can be for Tlilo Cotto species or X. brachypelma. Their brachypelmas were known for being laid back and tractable. Vagans are ones that people report can be a little more defensive, a little more prone to bite. So just a heads up there. They're also tend to be, mine are much more skittish. My vagans, both vagans I have a female adult, but the female adult's actually calmed down a bit, I should say. She's almost full grown now, probably about 6 inches, and she's fairly calm. My juvenile slash young adult is crazy. She's been crazy from day one. So just something to keep in mind if you pick these guys up. A lot of people see the name and think, oh yeah, they're going to be laid back. Not necessarily, but awesome spiders. Definitely ones that, they're ones that usually make best beginner species because they're hardy and they're fairly fast growing and just cool spiders overall. And next up we have my Vitalius Paranensis, awesome little spider. I think I've had nine now, about 6-7 years now. Picked her up is, I believe I picked up two. One matured male about 3 years ago. He was about 4 inches or so, kind of a smaller mature male. My female now is about 4.5. So I'm thinking a smaller species overall, but cool spider. One of those ones where I did my obscure species. It was on my obscure species list because I just don't see them around all that often. But ones that you kind of pick up as on a whim at the time, like, hey, I've never heard of these before. And you're so glad you did because they're gorgeous looking spiders. Mine used to burrow a lot as a sling and juvenile, but she was one of the few that I would have, and I think I have video of this somewhere, where I would open the enclosure and she would charge out of her burrow. Not defensively, but more like, hey, what the heck's going on in here? And we have one where she kind of came out, went on a little walkabout, and I had to kind of shoo her back in. But now she's a little spastic, a little bit more skittish, kind of runs around enclosure when disturbed. But great looking spider. Again, I love things that are unique. Don't get me wrong, love the hobby staples, have all the hobby staples, adore all the hobby staples. But it's fun every once in a while to get a spider not many people have, and it's more unique. And this one definitely fits the bill. Well, we've worked our way up to the letter Z, so this marathon of talking about tarantulas has almost concluded, and obviously the only one I have that begins with Z is Zanestis, and I have Zanestis manis, intermedia, species blue, species bright, species megascopula, species tenebris, and species white. So a lot of, basically went nuts and got them all. Billy got me my first just about a year ago from Tom Patterson, immediately fell in love with it and was like, oh man, I'm going to start collecting these now. And being the amazing wife she is, ended up picking me just basically she went on the hunt and got all the species or subspecies she could find. And I don't want to group them all together now, but I haven't had them long enough to really break apart the differences. Right now, they are all voracious eaters, incredibly fast, leggy spiders. They have this tendency to tackle prey items and end up on their back, which I think is absolutely amazing and adorable. And they grow like weeds. They start off as like 1¼, 1½ slings, and they just pick up massive size each time they molt. I think my biggest now is my species blue or my intermediate. Both are pushing about 4½ inches or so. And again, just can't wait to grow these up. The females are beautiful. I believe the common name is lesser black for the majority of them. They're all, I think they're all, this is one of these ones where I think once they do the research and examine them, a lot of them are going to fall under just different variants of other species. But even so, I don't care. I can take as many of these. I'll take multiples of every species. They're just amazing to watch. One of the revelation, kind of like the same thing when I first got my first Formictopus. And it was like, my gosh, why have I not been picking these up for years? The problem is they're so darn expensive. And for years I avoided them because I'm like, why would I bother picking these guys up when I can pick up Formictopus or even Theraphosa for a lot cheaper? But now I get it. I got them. I'm in love. I absolutely adore the genus, and I will continue to search for any ones that I currently don't have. And I will obviously keep people updated on these as they grow. Hopefully at some point, we'll, you know, soon at the rate they're growing, I'll be able to rehouse a couple of them into their adult enclosures and do some videos on them and podcasts about them then. But Zanesta species, absolutely adore them. Again, for people who are eyeing them, they are expensive. Are they worth the money? The one thing I will tell you is they are gorgeous spiders. They grow quickly. They are very hardy, so you don't have to worry about, I don't think, losing your investment. But whether or not they're worth the money or not, that's, I'll leave that up to the individual, because I can get not wanting to spend $200 on a little tiny sling. And finally, because I have nothing, unfortunately, that begins with Z, we're up to Y. We have Ibirapora or Ybirapora, Diversipes, or the Amazon Sapphire pink toe or something like that. Beautiful spiders, very sought after. Mine was gifted to me from my buddy Rob from Ibn's Arachnids a while back. Unfortunately, it did turn out to be a mature male, so we're going to find this one a lady, hopefully, and get some babies out there, because they are very sought after because they are just gorgeous. I mean, I don't keep a lot of Avicularia species, and these guys, I believe, used to be Avicularia, and I kind of overlooked them and sleep on them. But when I picked this guy up, it was like, I remember unboxing him, looking at Billy and going, all right, I get what the fuss is about now. Gorgeous spider. Mine did a bunch of webbing behind its cork bark, and I didn't catch it. It was very shy, so mostly it would be in that area, but I'd come down in the morning, I'd catch it out and about hunting. It would usually see me and go, you know, scuttering back to its hide. But gorgeous spider. Just disappointed this one ended up being a male, because I was really hoping to get a lady, because it would be one I'd look to breed. But again, we'll see about getting this guy out there. But awesome. I get now, let's just put it this way, I get now why they're so popular, and I will definitely be on the lookout for a new one. So hopefully maybe I'll get a few slings, raise them up, and hopefully get a lady, because this is one I want to keep in my collection. So that covers them all. After 3 hours, I've been able to go through the entire collection. Really glad I abandoned the idea of trying to do a commentary for that video, because I would not have been able to do any of these things justice with, you know, the average clip being 20 seconds to, you know, 20 to 45 seconds. They just, by the time I said the name, I would have been able to say one little thing about them. It would have been on to the next one. So I think this is the better way to go. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. You know, we won't be doing this again anytime soon, although I'll probably do updates on ones that I didn't cover here. There are a few other species that weren't on my original list that I'll cover at a later date, but that's pretty much what I have. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Enjoy the anecdotes about them. And next week we'll get on to doing some more care type stuff. But that was fun. It was a little, I still can't believe it took me 3 episodes to get all the way through it. When I sat down, I kind of had drawn a little line about halfway and went, I should be able to get to here. But when you get talking about them, you just can't stop. And that's what ends up happening. So 3 hours of content just talking about my collection. That's, woo. So anyway, as always, you can find me on thomasbigspiders.com. You can find me on thomasbigspiders on YouTube. Just to give everybody a heads up, I did post the video version of the top, and I'll be talking a little bit about this next episode, the fastest growing tarantulas, a topic I avoided for quite some time, but we did the podcast version. I did the YouTube version. The only thing I added to the YouTube version, I might have switched a couple species out just to make it more interesting. But I also took some feedback from people. So we did a top 3 species that people chose that I didn't have on my list, and it was kind of interesting to say the least. Definitely a huge conversation to be had about growth rates. So we'll talk a little bit about that next week. As always, guys, stay safe, and we'll catch you all next time.